And please turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. God bless you all gathered here and to those listening to this teaching on CD. What I want to share with you this morning is very valuable to those who want to be fulfilled in their life as Christian believers. I think you all fall into that category. There are two verses that must stand out in the life of a believer who wants to be their best for God. And these two verses are vital to those who recognize the value of the price paid through the accomplished work of Jesus Christ that gave them the new birth realities, and who then recognize the value of their life to work in the family business in the one body of Christ. And those two verses are Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewed mind is the key to power. God's exhortations for those who are born again of His Spirit is not to be conformed to this world. Now, I think, unfortunately, we grew up in this world. I don't think any of you are from Mars or any other planet. So we have, in a sense, conformed to this world because we were born here and we grew up in this world. So we've got quite a challenge, because God's Word says not to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed as a little old wormy caterpillar into a beautiful butterfly. Metamorphosis is where this word, Greek word that is used for the English word transformed. And how do we do that? By the renewing of our feet, our toes, our hands? No, the renewing of the mind. The mind. Barney's right on. That's the battlefield, the mind. Are we going to be conformed to the world? Are we going to change our mind and be renewed with God's Word in our mind? Okay? Because when we do that, when we renew our mind, we're going to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the next important question at this point, how do I renew my mind? If this is so valuable, so important for me as a believer in the family of God, how do I renew my mind? Well, I've learned in a couple dynamic and wonderful classes, Powerful Abundant Living, Walking in God's Power, Renewed Mind Seminar, that there's some great keys in God's Word on how to renew your mind. And I have four steps to the renewed mind for your consideration. The first one is to study God's Word rather than other material. Instead of watching the CIS or CSI, whatever it is, and reading the newspaper all day, let's read God's Word. Number two, controlling your own thoughts to recognize your position in Christ as a son of God. You control your own thoughts. Your thoughts, you control them to recognize your position in Christ as a son of God. Number three is practicing the presence of God. Practicing the presence of God. The fourth one is living love. God loves abide within. His love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that we have. So we live love. Now this morning, I don't want to handle all of these, but I would like to touch on number three. And what was number three? practicing the presence of God. Now, most people, you say, if God is present with you all the time, they'd go, uh-oh, look out. You know, they get like Adam and Eve were in the garden when they lost spirit and God's voice came, and you know what they did? Instead of running to the voice, they ran the other way. When you're born again of God's Spirit, God's Word says it's God in Christ in you. God in Christ in you. So we're going to look a little bit about practicing the presence of God. How do we practice the presence of God in our life? There's a beautiful hymn, and it's not in our songbook. We were looking for it the other day. And it goes, "What a wonderful change in my heart has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." When we got born again, a whole new reality occurred because we have resident within God in Christ in us. We are, as the Word says, a new creation in Christ. We are a new person. If you're a new person in Christ, why do you want to live the old man lifestyle? Okay? If somebody gives you a brand new suit of clothes and it's just beautiful and it's great, why would you want to wear the old rags that you've had, right? You put on the clothes. You put on that new article that you've got. Same thing with God. Practicing the presence of God. Let's take a look at Philippians, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Okay? It is God which works in you both to will and to do. The word do in the Greek is energeo. What word do you think we get out of that? Energize, okay? Okay, so it's God that works within us to will and to energize us of his good pleasure. Isn't it wonderful that God has no problem being in us? He has designed life so that he can reside within us. I guess he got tired of the tents and the temple of the Old Testament. What he so desired was to live within each and every person. What a great reality when you think about it. That's the whole story of God's Word from the beginning, was that he wanted to reside within, body, soul, and spirit. Man had the spirit within, and they had a beautiful relationship. Man made a mistake, they lost it, and then from that point on, God worked so that man could regain that spiritual connection, and to the point that they would be a new creation in Christ. Now it's our privilege to live a fulfilled and more abundant life by practicing the presence of God. Now, a wonderful example of someone who has done that before is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our brother. And what a wonderful person to look at who has practiced the presence of God in their life. And what he did, he practiced the presence of God all the time. You know, sometimes we can think, well, if I can just have about 5-10 minutes and get really quiet, and then I can start zeroing in and thinking, God, God, God and Christ in me. Yeah, it's Christ in me. Yeah, okay, I got it, I got it. And then what happens a couple minutes later? We go outside, things happen, it's raining outside. Oh man, what a miserable day, it's raining outside. Boy, how quick we change in our mind, don't we? Jesus Christ practiced the presence of God not only during those quiet seas, but also during the storms of life that came about. I want to share with you some records. You can, if you want to note these down, I'll read them to you. The first one is Mark 1:35. And this is Jesus Christ finding those quiet time to pray. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. In Mark 6:46, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. So Jesus Christ's lifestyle, within his lifestyle, he would find those quality times, those quiet times to talk with the Heavenly Father. Now, was he doing this all the time in his life? No. He had all kinds of situations, problems, things going on around him that he had to involve himself in. People were following him. Now, the other times, let's take a look at some other times that he practiced the presence of God in very difficult situations, very emotional events. Perhaps one of the most emotional events was the death of his good friend Lazarus. When he found out Lazarus was dead, boy, it touched his heart. It hurt his heart. And during that dramatic time, he still stayed in fellowship and connection with God. It says in John 11:41-42, part of that section, it says, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe, and that thou hast sent me." Thou hearest me how often? Always, always, even during this very deep emotional time. He could talk with his Father because he knew his Father heard him always. Hey, what about in the Garden of Gethsemane? He knew at that time, very soon, he would be going through the most excruciating pain, the worst death a person could go through. Be hung on a cross with nails in his hands and feet. He knew from the Old Testament that he would be so beaten up that you couldn't even recognize him as a human being. And so he went to the Father under all this stress and pressure in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, you know, he talked to him, "Hey, is there another way to do this redemption trip?" He said, "Remove this cup from me." But then he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." So he knew God was there with him. That's why he talked to him. That's why he prayed. Boy, we need to pray a lot. We need to recognize the value of recognizing the presence of God. What did God do? Sent an angel to minister to him. Pretty neat. And then what about during that excruciating pain? He's on the cross. He's, you know, nails in his hands and feet. He's just bloody and beat up and everything. And yet he had enough in his mind, recognizing the presence of God, that he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What a wonderful example. You know, sometimes we think we just need those quiet seas, and that's the only time God will listen or hear us. But really, God is there all the time. So even during those stressful, emotional, tense times, we can grab our mind and say, "Father, help me. What can I do? Help me." So we've seen a great example, right? Jesus Christ practicing the presence of God. And let's take a look at three principles within how to practice the presence of God. And the first one is to recognize He is there with you. Recognize that He's there. Do you remember day in and day out that it's God and Christ in me? That He is there. And act like it. Act like it. Don't be bummed out when things happen. Don't go stressing out. But say, "Hey, wait a minute. God is here. He is my Father. He is here. I still have God and Christ in me." You know, we are so rich spiritually, aren't we? When you look at the greatness of who we are in Christ and our sonship rights, we're just so loaded. We're so spiritually rich. We just need to recognize how rich we are spiritually, don't we? We just kind of forget. You know, what about physically? What about if you reached in your hand and all of a sudden you pulled out, oh my golly, look at all this, there's $1 million here. Oh my golly, I'm rich. How would you act? Yes. I'm rich. I've got $1 million. Why not read God's word where it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? I'm rich. Right? What's the better truth? The spiritual truth. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Wow. In the mind. Okay, mind. $1 million, Christ in me. I'll take the Christ in me every time. Every time. So that's what we need to do. Number one, recognize He is there and act like it. So when we're stressing out, we're all bummed out, we say, wait a minute. I've got God and Christ in me. I can cast all my care upon Him because what? He cares for me. And literally believe that. Once we recognize He's there, then put God's word on in our life and change our lifestyle. Change our lifestyle by putting the Word of God on in your mind. Talk to Him. Okay, first we recognize that He's there, and then two, we change our lifestyle and talk to Him. Some people say, hey, I'm just the way I am. Well, why not say, I'm just the way Christ in me is? Why not change our lifestyle to be those Christ-like people? Because we know He's there, we make that quiet time to pray, don't we? He is there. So I'm going to change my lifestyle and set a time that I can talk with my Heavenly Father so I don't have the distractions. I'm not going to let the world guide my life. I don't want to be conformed to this world. I'm going to conform my mind to live the lifestyle of the Christ within. So I'm going to grab some time and pray to the Heavenly Father. But, you know, I got to get to work early. I just can't do that. Why not? You have to go to work early. Well, I have to have quiet time with my Heavenly Father. Well, maybe you can't do it in the morning. Do it later on when you get home. But we need to change our lifestyle. Now, if you're blessed, 100% blessed with your life, and God has just loading you with all His blessings, and you have joy and rejoicing in your heart every moment, don't change. But if you don't have that joy and rejoicing day in and day out, moment by moment, hey, why not change? It's available. So change your thinking. Work on it. Retemporize God's word. Hey, we work so hard to work with our physical body, don't we? We go to the gym, we hire coaches, we have special programs, we even go to doctors that carve our bodies and make us a new body, don't we? Just so we can physically look good. We do everything and anything. And man, how many diets are there out there? Oh my golly. Why not spend that kind of time spiritually changing our life? Why not go on a spiritual diet? Why not retemerize God's word? Remember, I think about a year ago or so, we were really getting into retemerizing the word, putting into our mind God's word and having it there so when situations come up, we would think the word rather than respond to fear. We would respond knowing that it's God and Christ in us and that we have the power of being a son of God. So I think we should kind of get our retemporary verses out and start putting the word back in our mind. I was so blessed, Jeannie. We have a little contest. I'll share a little bit of my personal life with you here. A few weeks ago, she was talking about going on a diet. So I said, well, I'll join you. We'll have a little contest. And by the end of March, we'll see, you know, we're going to lose so many pounds, okay? The same amount, both of us. But you know what she's done along with that? Which is great, and you know, she does what it takes. You know, I'm trying to do what it takes. But then we say, let's go on a spiritual diet. And she's really been working, retemerizing the word. You know, I come in, time to go to bed, 10 o'clock. She's in bed, retemerizing verses over and over and over and over again. Which is a great example. That's what we need. We need to go on a diet with God's word. Let's be more concerned about our spiritual new man than this physical body. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. There's some great things that we can learn in Proverbs chapter 3 in light of putting God's word on in our minds. We recognize who we are in Christ, that it's Christ in us, God's presence is there. So we change our lifestyle by renewing our mind, putting the word in our hearts. Here in Proverbs chapter 3, my son, forget not my law. Now that's the word of God. But let thine heart keep my commandments. It's a great figure of speech. Let my heart. What's the heart? It's the heart of your mind, so to speak. It's the innermost being of your life. Okay? So what does it say? Keep my commandments. Let thine heart keep my commandments. For here's the results for doing this. Look at this. They're like physical results. If you want great physical results in your life, keep the word in your heart. It says, for length of days and long life, and peace shall they add to thee. What a great diet. Look at those results. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. You know, put them around your neck. I believe this refers to what they call phylacteries. And in the Old Testament times, and even today, the Jews, people that are of that religion, they want the word around their neck. So they have these like necklaces, and they have these little cubes, and the word scriptures in there. So they want to have the word around their neck. And then they have things they bind around their hands. And then they have these things around their head where there's the little cube, you know, so it's real close to their brain. I don't know if they think it's going to osmosis in there or something. I don't know. But the idea is having the word around you. And look at this great exhortation. Bind them about thy necks. Write them on upon the table of thine heart. To me, that's memorizing God's word. Okay? Let's put the word in the heart of our mind. So when situations come up, then we respond, not out of fear, but we respond out of who we are in Christ with the presence of God in our life. Okay? Boy, and if we're not having that, you know, manifesting the more abundant life, if we're not manifesting the deliverance, then what do we need to do? We need to go on a diet, spiritual diet. Let's put the word on. Write them upon the table of thine heart, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding. It's interesting when you work Proverbs, wisdom and understanding, there's six different Hebrew words translated in the two English words, understand and wisdom. And it's interesting to see the distinction here. And this one, so shalt thou find favor and good insight. That's that word, understanding, is good insight. Man, don't you want to have good insight on what's going on? That's what will happen when we write God's word on the table of our hearts. In the sight of God and man. Verse 5, trust in the Lord, confide in the Lord with how much of your heart? All thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know, we don't trust God in areas of our lives, don't we? We just fall short. Well, then we need more word in there. And the more word we get, then we will be able to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's a totally different word. That word is discernment. And lean not unto thine own discernment. Being able to judge or discern what's going on. You know, we think we know it all. You know, we're critics in every situation. Lean not unto your own critic. In all thy ways acknowledge him. How many ways do we acknowledge him? All our ways. All the time. All the time we acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. Man, where shall we go? Where shall I go? Hey, who's with you? God. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Lean not unto thy own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The word direct there is a Greek word when you look at the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Old Testament. The Greek word there is the word that's used for rightly divide in 2 Timothy 2:15. You know that one, being a workman, needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, just doing it the right way. That's what he says here, I shall direct thy paths. I'm going to put you just the right way for you individually. That's pretty neat. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. And that's not be afraid of him. That means to have reverence of the Lord and depart from evil. The word depart really is avoid. Avoid. Reverence the Lord and avoid evil. Don't be a part of it. It shall be, and by doing this, it shall be health to thy navel. It shall be healing to thy navel. You know what your navel is? It's your belly button. So, you know, if you do all this, you're going to have a healthy belly button. Is that what it's saying? That's a figure of speech to represent all of your life, your whole being, your whole being. You know, look at the physical results we get for doing the word. And then it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of thine increase. You know, believers that really tap into this, they also have another characteristic about them. They're great givers. They just recognize God's are sufficient. They just give. Don't even think about it. It's a blessing. Just give. It's God anyway. He's my sufficiency. They just give. Isn't this a great section? Boy, I'd encourage you to, you know, here's a great diet for you. Read this. Read this every day, okay? Read this every day this week. And just set this. Get this in your head. Get it in your head. So when things happen, no, I trust in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not to my own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him. Well, there's one more point that I would like to make in practicing the presence of God. And Barney touched on it wonderfully. You know, it was great how Barney led this meeting with the songs and just walking with the Father and setting this meeting and blessing you and preparing you for the teaching of God's Word. It was fantastic. And he talked about the importance of speaking in tongues. And that's the third point I want to make. Speak in tongues much. Practice the presence of God. speak in tongues much. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I mean, let's let the Word give the reason why we should speak in tongues much. Not just because Barney says so or Bob, but let's see what God has to say about speaking in tongues and how wonderful it is in light of practicing the presence of God in our life. So 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto who? God. When you speak in tongues, you speak to the Father. He loves to hear you speak in tongues. Man, oh man. When you speak in tongues, you are mentally giving priority to God. You're mentally giving priority to the Spirit of God in your life. And how often do we speak in tongues during the day? Boy, isn't it so often we, golly, did I speak in tongues today? You know, maybe it should be, did I speak in tongues at least an hour or 2 hours? That would be a better question. Now, speak in tongues much. We speak unto God. We speak unto God. It reminds us of God's presence. When you speak in tongues, it's got to be God, right? God's there. I tell you, so many times when things get tough and situations arise, emotions are going, just grab my mind, speak in tongues quietly. Speak in tongues. Okay, God's there. Okay, God's there. Let's see, Father, what do I do in this situation? I'm talking to you. Your turn to talk to me, please. What do I do? You know, it reminds us of God's pleasure as well as makes for great conversation to God's ears when you speak in tongues. All right, so in conclusion, what's the key to power? Renewed mind. Those two verses in Romans, so important to renew our mind to be successful believers. And an important aspect of the renewed mind is practicing the presence of God. And how do I practice the presence of God? I first recognize He is there. He is there all the time. And then I put on the Word and change my lifestyle. Change my lifestyle because He is there and I talk to Him. And number three, what do I do much? Speak in tongues much. So let's have a great, let's set up a wonderful diet for our life of renewing our minds to God's Word, okay? All right, so Heavenly Father, we're just very, very grateful to be your kids, to be born again of your Spirit, to have the wonderful opportunity to fellowship with you moment by moment, to have your presence within us, that we can have great joy and rejoicing in our hearts, knowing that you are with us, that we have your companionship in every situation of our life, that we cannot lean onto our own understanding, but we can confide, trust in you in all things. So I'm thankful as a family here that we can work together to bless each other, to help each other grow in these wonderful things. So I pray that we have just a great week renewing our minds and living the presence of you in our life. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. God bless you. All right.